Welcome to Valley Podcast. Valley Christian Church is located on Cedar Avenue, just south of Apple Valley. To learn more about our church and how you can get involved, go to valleycc.org. Here's the latest recording from our current teaching series, You Make It Happen.
We thank you for the good news of Jesus. We pray, God, that you would help us to be people that actually experience Jesus as good news in our lives. We pray that you'd help us to follow him in a way that the goodness, the richness, the joy of all he has promised would be something we really know about personally. And we pray, God, that as we follow him and listen to him and become shaped by him as we abide in his words and his words abide in us, we pray, God, that as we do that, we ourselves would just be good news. Help us in this time right now, God, to have hearts and minds that are open to the possibilities of where you might lead us and how you might prod us. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. When I was a college student and I was going to this small Bible college in Nebraska, and probably any of you who have been in church for any length of time or gone to a Christian school or at some point you've had a course or a class or a special emphasis about evangelism. And when I went to Bible college, there was a whole class called personal evangelism. And a lot of the stuff we did in that class, I have now come to think of as not really effective, not really so great. There was a thing going on at that time. It was very popular, and you know, it was sweeping the nation among evangelical churches, and it was this, it was called Evangelism Explosion. Okay, that's what it was called. And it was exploding, you know. And it started out with something like this question: if you were to die and go face God tonight, why would he let you into heaven? You know, well, that question itself has all kinds of problems for me, okay? Now that I've actually read the Bible and studied it and tried to share Jesus with others, it was basically turning evangelism into a sales pitch. It's almost like a phone campaign. You ask this, and if they say that, then you say this. And if you say that, you say, anyway, my friend John Diedrich, it would just delight me if you're listening to this podcast, John. Just send me a note and say you remember this. Anyway, John was in this class with me, and I remember he had the funniest story about he was, you know, here's a college kid, and he's doing his laundry. And he was in this personal evangelism class with me. And John, his own life was actually a pretty amazing story about a young guy who came from a tough situation, and he'd gotten into the wrong kind of things as a kid, and he was really, really messed up kid. And somebody started loving him and being good to him. And it turned out that that person was doing that because of what Jesus was doing in that person's life, okay? And so John came to Christ. He put his faith in Christ because there was goodness coming into his own life from these friends. But now, here's the funny, weird thing is, now John's going to church, and now he's going to a class, and they're telling him how to share his faith. And instead of asking him to just share, be who he is, and let people discover his story, they're giving him a sales pitch. Here's how you share Jesus. So here's John, who actually has a wonderful life experience, a wonderful testimony, a guy who actually believes that Jesus has made the difference in his life, but he's sitting there in this laundromat, and there's this one other person across the laundromat, and she's sitting there reading a book, and John's doing his laundry, and the whole time he's there, he's got this thing from personal evangelism class in his mind. And you know, they're not only giving him the sales pitch script, they're giving him the guilt trip that, you know, like, you know, it's probably up to you, man. You know? So here's John sitting there, and what the script that's running in his head is like, man, I should say something to this person, you know? You know, what if God put me in this room with this person right now? I mean, this, maybe, you know, I want to be obedient to that, you know? So he's like got himself all psyched out that he's supposed to say something, you know? So he goes to this personal evangelism script in his head, and he walks across the room, and the person looks up over her book like, hey, you're breaking laundromat protocol here. You know, the deal is I sit here and ignore you and you sit there and ignore me while our clothes are spinning around. You know, you don't just come up and talk to me unless you need, you know, like a quarter for the machine or something like that. Anyway, he walks up to her and he says, hi. Oh, this is going bad quick. She goes, hello. She goes back to her book. And he goes, have you ever thought about what would happen to you after you die? That's what they were teaching him. And she looked up and she said, not so much. Back to her book. Are you still here? And the guy, John, looks at her and says, well, because now she's off script, because in the script she's supposed to say, why, no, what an interesting question. Let's talk. But she doesn't do that. She goes, not really. Goes back to her book. And John's like, okay, I'm on my own now. I got to make up. You know, she's off script. Quick, pull something out. He goes, would you like to talk about it? How do you think that went? She went, not really. And she goes, no. And then John said, he turned and went back across the miles of space in the laundromat. He said, and I sat there, he says, I sat there for about, 3 days waiting for my laundry. He said, it just felt like forever. He said, well, I couldn't believe I had done that. You see, those are the kinds of stories that make the word evangelism scary and awful. You know, when it's a sales pitch motivated by guilt or some inflated sense that everything, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son, and your whole destiny depends on that one guy in the laundromat. Probably not. You know, God can do a lot of things, and the scriptures tell us God is constantly reaching out to everybody through every means available. It's never hanging on just you. That's not to say that you don't have a part in it, but your part, guess what your part is? It's your part. It's not some sales pitch. It's not some Bible knowledge quiz. It's not some argument or apologetics. It's not, and it's not trying to get somebody to just sort of say, oh, those are some really good ideas. I think I'll make those my beliefs now. That's not even what it is. Evangelism, the very word itself means good tidings. Same place we get the word gospel, good news. An evangelist, that's just turning it into a person, right? It's a good news person. An evangelist is somebody who their very life, their very being is like a breath of fresh air. It's sharing what you got to share. You know? It's like some people have said, it's just like one beggar telling another beggar where he found bread. It's sharing something you found with somebody who's looking. And so I want us to look at our text. There's been a phrase in the text we've looked at the last several weeks that I've just been kind of bouncing right over the top of it. And today I want us to look at it a little more closely. In Ephesians chapter 4, it says, Christ himself, okay, Jesus is the giver, right? Christ is the one who's by his grace gifting us, right? Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service. That's what we talked about last week. We're gifted to do things that help us all learn how to do things, right? We serve. It's a self-perpetuating service machine, the church. We serve, and as we serve, we become more and more able to serve, and more and more of us are able to do so. To equip God's people for works of service, why? So that the body of Christ may be built up. And then down in verse 16, from Christ, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And so we talked about that each week, that the thread of this series is we have a part, and we're called to do our part. And the body becomes strengthened as we do our part, regardless of what that part is. Okay? Now, the phrase I'd like us to look at is this verse 11 up there, where it says, he gave the apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors, and teachers. One of the things I'm thinking is that most of us, I don't know, but you know, I haven't surveyed this, but I'm guessing that many of us, when we read those verses, we can almost have this sense of, I can sort of just like jump up and hop over the top of that because I am not an apostle. I am not an evangelist. I am not a prophet. I am not a pastor. I am not a teacher. You know, God gave the church those things. I'm none of those things. I can just skip to the next part, okay? But I want you to think about that a little bit, because those things, while there are probably such things as capital E evangelists, and there may be some, you know, there are capital A apostles and maybe capital P pastors. But what I want to suggest to you is that all of those things are things that all of us are called to do to one degree or another. And to do that, to kind of make this point, I want to connect some dots that actually this just came together for me as I was studying and thinking and preparing this past week. I noticed a parallel that I had never noticed before. When we talk about evangelism, many times people, if I said to somebody, what would be a good verse about why we should go into the world, or, you know, how we're called to make disciples, probably one of the verses that would surely come to mind would be Matthew 28, where Jesus looks at his disciples and he says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, right? There we see him looking at disciples like you and me saying, go into the world and make disciples, right? Somebody else might come along with Mark 16, verse 15, where it's sort of Mark, the Gospel of Mark's version of the Great Commission, where it says, Jesus said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation, right? Probably, have you heard those verses before? Somebody ever like put those in front of you before? Like, hey, we should go, we should make disciples of all nations. You probably heard that, right? Okay. I don't know if these verses have come to your mind as we've looked at Ephesians 4 every week, but look at this. This is kind of a fascinating parallel to me. Look at this. Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now look at those two verses above it. Do you know what apostle means? Somebody who goes. Apostle comes from the Greek word to send. Look at evangelist. That's the word that comes from gospel, good news. Look up there. Make disciples. Preach the gospel. Pastors, teachers, look at that. Teaching them to obey everything. It's interesting that this verse that we've been looking at in Ephesians 4 every week has woven in it this great commission, that what we do even with each other is sort of this great commission thing. You notice that apostles equals go, prophet equals preach. You see, an apostle is somebody who goes. A prophet is somebody who preaches. A prophet is somebody who speaks to humanity, humankind, from a godly perspective. You know, I say this all the time, but two words that we hear a lot in church and then we always forget what they mean is prophet and priest. Okay? You know, Jesus is prophet, priest, and king, you know? So what does that mean? Sent? Okay? He's sent into the world, and a prophet speaks to the world on behalf of God, and a priest speaks to God on behalf of people. That's the difference of those things. So we see here, apostle means you go. Prophet means you preach. And sometimes in church, we get this idea that if you ask, it seems to me that all the people I talk to, when we hear the word prophet, a lot of times we fall into the idea of a prophet is somebody who's foretelling the future. And there is that future telling aspect of a lot of the Old Testament prophets, but mostly what the Old Testament prophets weren't so busy trying to foretell the future like seers. What they were doing was telling the people. If you read the Old Testament prophets, you get a lot more of this is what God thinks about what you're doing, or this is what God wants from you. That the prophet, the prophetic role is sharing a godly perspective for humans who need to know what God thinks. Okay? And then the evangelists, they're just people who are good news. They're people who have heard what Christ, the difference Christ can make, and the power of his Spirit and the hope of transformation that is in Christ, and they're living that out. Okay? And then pastors and teachers, that's just nurturing and mentoring and helping and teaching and helping people be disciples. And a disciple is somebody who follows Jesus with the intent of becoming like him. When you hear the word disciple, if that word doesn't mean anything to you, replace it with apprentice. Disciples are apprentices. They're following somebody with the intent of learning what that person knows and being able to do and be what that person is. Okay? So, we connect. If we're going to talk about evangelism, we need to really connect the idea that this going, this sharing the gospel, is not really some special extra task. It's really just the reality of becoming who we're called to be. And then sharing happens. So let's kind of use these words, go, preach, gospel, teacher, make disciple. Let's use those and gain some insights. Let's think about you and me, apostles. Where do we go? Do you think that just the people in this room, if we could just do like a little geo-tracking of everybody in this room, do you think we could safely say that even just the people in this service, are we going into the world? We do every week, don't we? I think we might be astounded to see all the places we go. As a church, I think you'd be amazed to see how much of the metro, how much of the upper Midwest, right? Because we don't just go around, we have schools, we have jobs, we have friends, we have neighbors, we have families, we have vacations, you know, we have cabins, we have work-related trips, right? We're going all over the place. So when we hear go into all the world, or we see that God that Christ has graced the church by making some of us apostles. In a sense, every one of us is an apostle because every one of us is sent into the world every week. Life just calls us into the world, right? And so Christ gave himself the apostles. He says to them in Mark 16, go into all the world. Sometimes we are, the way that's preached to us, it's as though we need to start doing that as if we're not. And what I want to suggest to you today is that we're doing it every week. Every week we're going into the world. So we got that part down. The question is, what are we going to do with that? You are in the world. Anybody got a job? Anybody got a friend? Anybody got family that don't know Jesus? Anybody? Right. Anybody got neighbors? We're in the world all the time. I have opportunities to talk to people when I'm at the dentist. I have opportunities to talk to people in the store. I have opportunities to be something to the girl at the cash register at the Ace Hardware store around the corner from me, where they, about this time of year, get to know me pretty well, you see? See, we're in the world, and so we just need to understand. You know, so many times I think pastors and teachers would say, you need to go, you need to go. I'm saying, no, you need to realize you're going. You're there. You don't have to try to go, you're out there. So what you have to do is remember, as you're going, you're light. That you have the opportunity to not just be a number or a face or a blank or just one of, you have the opportunity in that elevator, in that hospital, in that workplace, you have the opportunity to live as a Christian, as a Jesus follower. So where do we go? We're going everywhere. It's just a mindset of, do I understand that as I go, I am actually a representative. I am actually part of a church. I am actually part of a Jesus-following people. So as I'm going, do I remember who I am? You're already going. The question is, do you remember who you are when you get there? So that brings me to another question here. That's the picture that's supposed to go with that last little tirade. Okay. The second question is, what am I making known? You see, Christ gave not just goers, but what? Prophets. Prophets are, every one of you is a prophet. Every one of you is a witness. If you say you're a Christian, when you go into the world, you are, whether you intend to or not, you are saying something about Christianity. You're making known something about church. You're making known something about your faith. You know, my dad always used to say, Jesus said, my dad was a preacher, he'd say, Jesus says, you shall be my witnesses. He didn't say you'd be good at it. That's true. We're in the world, so we need to ask ourselves, if Christ is giving the church and sending the church into the world to be prophetic, to preach, to share something from a godly perspective, we need to ask ourselves, am I demonstrating, speaking, and provoking godly perspectives and insights? You know, it's not like my friend John, where you look across the room and go, ooh, I better have enough guts. I should go over and say something weird. You know, what's evangelism? It's the project of making Christianity creepy. No. No, evangelism is actually just being where you are, remembering who you are, and tipping your cards to give a little evidence. You don't even have, you know, you can do so much with a question. You can do so much with a prayer request or an offer to pray. You know, when you let the things that Jesus is doing in your life kind of come, you know, if you're filling yourself up, just let people bump into you and let a little bit of that goodness roll over the edge of the glass so it gets on people. And they you know, so like it might be something like we should do that. And you might be saying something like, I don't feel comfortable with that. I just don't feel like that's honest. And I, you know, that's integrity is important to me. You don't have to add on because I'm a Christian. And as a Christian, I now feel pressured to do this, to be a good witness. You don't do that. No, just live it. You know, in other words, if your mind and your heart are being shaped by the gospel, then just demonstrate it. I got to keep this really as short as I can here, but I had an example one time. You know, my family does a lot of music and is involved in a lot of entertainment and things like that with my kids and all. And so sometimes the venues and sometimes the programs or sometimes the bills they share are not always, you know, like the best. And it's amazing to me how and it's kind of tricky because I'm their dad and I'm not trying to be some downer dad. Okay. But what I do is I just try to love my kids and go where they are. And it's amazing to me. One time I went And I was watching a show, and one of the bands that was playing was just, I mean, it was just hideous language. Okay? And not my kids, but somebody else in a band they were playing with said, you know what? That band that was right before us, was that hideous or what? I said, yeah, it's kind of not so good. And you know what the person said? I've heard them lots of times, and I never realized how terrible that was until you came. You know why? Not because I sat there and said, I'd like to rally everybody around me now and tell you how bad those people are. No, do you know what happened? All it took was somebody that when you came and sat there lovingly, they started seeing the place differently than they had ever seen it before. That you can just bring a Christian perspective. You don't have to be some loudmouth. You don't have to be you don't have to argue about it. You don't have to judge it. You just have to be who you are. You know, sometimes I'll be with somebody and they'll say something that's very political or mean or mean-spirited, you know, and you know, sometimes I'll just have to, you know, I don't want to lose a friend. I don't want to make somebody feel terrible, but sometimes I'll just say, well, you know, that's one way to think about it. You'd be amazed at how much just being a peacemaker and not joining in, you know. You'd be amazed at how if you, for instance, just are more careful about how you speak, you'd be amazed at how many other people will just be more careful about how they speak because somebody's in the room who's being shaped by something else. So, what do we make known? We make known that the gospel is actually changing us. It's making us look like light in the midst of darkness. It's making us look like integrity in a world of corruption. Let me tell you, people are always saying how corrupt the world is. Well, then it ought to be real easy for us Christians to show some contrast, shouldn't it? Right? So we go into the world, we're already doing it, we remember who we are, so we can provoke, speak, demonstrate a different way of living, right? Peter said, live such good lives that even pagans go, wow, that makes sense. Did you know that? Did you know that you can just live your life in a way that people go, maybe there is something to that Jesus thing. Their marriage is, I know that they have some of the same struggles we have, but they're working it. There's something's making them keep trying, you know. Or look at, he's got alcoholism too, but look, he's found fellowship and friends. Or look, I'm pretty sure she's as lazy as I am, but she's doing it because she's being, you know, see, it changes us. So next thing, what goodness do we bring? Christ gave himself apostles, okay, so we're going. Prophets, so we're sharing a godly perspective. And evangelists. What are evangelists? They're good news. I need to experience Jesus as good news in my life, and I need to live as a good news person. Oh, man, I hate it, you know, when the thing I'm preaching just hits me right between the eyes. I hate that so much. You know, by the way, if you ever feel like I'm stepping on your toes, I want you to know my preaching strategy is, all week long, I look at my own toes and figure out how to stomp on them. And if your toes get stomped on, it's just because you're putting them in the same place where mine are. You're getting caught in the crossfire. But here's the thing. Is my faith in Jesus more than belief in ideas? That's actually good news for me. It's not just some intellectual exercise. It's not just some religion. It's actually Jesus is good news to me. He's changing me. He's giving me, by following him, I'm thinking, this is the way to go. By following him, am I paying attention that some of the dearest people in my life are probably in my life because of Jesus? You know, and that I should be thankful to realize, man, Jesus has been good news to me. My story without Jesus is bad news. See, we got to start paying attention to our own story. Some of us were trying to sell a product we do not use. That ain't evangelism. That's a con man. What we need to do, you find somebody that's actually experiencing the gospel, you won't be able to get them to shut up. And so I say, what goodness am I experiencing? Because if I'm not experiencing goodness, I can't bring any goodness. If I say, I want to understand the gospel, I want to know Jesus in a way that the very thought of Jesus, you know, like the old hymn, Jesus, the very thought of you with sweetness fills my breast. Does the word Jesus, do you, when you think about Jesus, do you think he's a life changer? He's good to me. You know, after the praise songs and worship service is done, can we say the name Jesus and you go, yeah, he's good. Because if I'm experiencing it, then I have the chance to emulate him and to be like him. And I can say, as a Jesus person, that makes me a good. If Jesus is good news to me, that means I have the possibility of being good news to others. I have the possibility of being that friend that sticks closer than a brother. Right? I have that possibility of being that person who's there. I have that possibility of being that person that rises above his own weaknesses. Right? I have that person. I have within me, if I have Jesus in me and I'm actually experiencing him, I have the opportunity to be good news at work. I want to live my life not where the world is my project, but where Jesus is my Lord. I want to live my life in a way that when people say, I don't know that guy too much, but he's one of the nice guys in the neighborhood, I think he'd help us. You see? Too many times the church is trying to convey ideas about Jesus instead of just being good news for the world. Do you know people that are good news to you? You say, they're great. Oh, I love them. They're such. Do those people that you think are good news in your life, do they have any trouble getting access to you? No. You welcome them in. Why? They're good. See, evangelism isn't trying to worm your way into places where people don't like you. Evangelism is being good news so that people are happy to see you and interested in what you have to share. We're the light of the world, and a city on a hill is not easily hid. And so how do we make disciples? You know, we're going, we're bringing a godly perspective, we're actually being good news. Well then, how do we grow in disciples? How is Jesus changing us? How are we becoming more and more like him every day? Well, here's what I have to say, is you can only be an apprentice if you emulate and obey Jesus. Jesus isn't just calling you to believe in him or believe he died and rose from the dead. He's calling you to copy him, to become like him. And so you and I, if we want to be part of the pastoral, every one of you has an opportunity to be a pastor and a teacher. All you have to do is be a good apprentice. Because if Jesus is shaping you, if you're learning how to obey Jesus, you've got something to teach and share. Right? Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. Get strapped in right next to me, like these two animals together. Walk beside me, and I'll teach you how to walk in the unforced rhythms of grace. We come along Jesus, and guess what? When we come along Jesus, that makes us somebody worth coming along. We learn how to be the Jesus that somebody else can learn from. We have to be disciples. Boy. Help me out. There it goes. Back. You can only guide people on a road you know. Right? Have you ever walked up to somebody and said, could you tell me how to get to such and such? if the first thing that comes out of their mouth is, I've never heard of it, never been there, but let me tell you some ideas about, you say, no, I'll look for somebody else, thanks. Right? And so many of us, evangelism scares us, the idea of evangelism scares us because we realize that for, if somebody asked us how to follow Jesus, it'd be, they might as well ask us how to go to a place we've never been. Because we're just stuck with beliefs. And we need more than beliefs. We need the practical experience of obedience and following him. That's how we become able to share the truth with somebody else. Even Jesus himself, boy, thanks, Dewey, get me back there. Jesus himself got close enough so that we could see. Right? That's how it works to pastor and teach. You get close. And John chapter 1, he says, the Word, Jesus, became flesh and dwelt among us. And John says, we saw him. And we saw the glory of God in him. See, evangelism is go where you're going, remember who you are, bring a prophetic, a godly perspective to the situation, right? Do that and be good news and follow Jesus with everything you've got because you can't take anybody a place you've never been. Let's pray. Thank you, God, for the Word. Thank you for Jesus who came to live among us. Help us to be his apprentices who live well in our worlds. It's in his name we pray. Amen. The Lord be with you.
Thanks for listening. If you value our podcast and the ministry of our church, please consider making a contribution. To do so, just point your browser to valleycc.org and click the Give Online button. To get complete podcasts and archive information, look under the Resources tab on our website. While you're there, look around to find lots of other helpful resources. If you have comments or questions, send us a note at podcast@valleycc.org.